The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Bird's Eye View here on WTBR. It's Jesse and Mike. We've had some bipolar weather, folks. It's been funky. It was beautiful for like a week, and now it's been alternating. Like 55.
Yeah, I was on my way to the office yesterday, and it was like giant snowflakes were pelting.
So I went to the gym yesterday a little before 1 o'clock, psyched. And I was in a hoodie, and I had some like pants over my shorts, and that was it. And it was great, and it was sunny out. And by the time I left the gym, it was snowing, and I was like, who pulled the fast one on me?
A little bit.
Then it was snowing all last night too. Yeah, it was. And now this morning, of course, it's like 30 degrees out. Yeah, and I think I looked up, like, Monday it's going to be 60-something, but potentially rainy.
Oh,
and then Tuesday it's going to, like, snow.
We'll see.
It's spring in Massachusetts, I guess.
I'm in to keep going. I went snowboarding twice over the weekend. I was at closing day for Bosquet on Sunday.
I haven't been in to get a sledding in, and I haven't yet, so maybe the snow will get me one.
So Bosquet's closed. I don't know if you want to go sled there, but... They have shut down, I believe, operations for the year or for the season. Jiminy, I think, is reopening this weekend or later this week is the tentative plan.
I've gone sledding at Bosquet before. It's good, but it's very basic. But yeah, I don't know. I might have just like gone to Clap Park and
I don't think there's any snow anywhere else.
Yeah, so. that might be the case.
If you need to scratch that itch,
we need one more big snow. Probably not. Well, folks, we're in between seasons because the winter sports season ended and the spring sports season technically starts today. There's some lacrosse starting today, but it really next week is when things begin.
Monday,
in full.
Tuesday, and even then, it's not a ton out here. I think a lot of teams, particularly baseball, softball, will schedule road games to start the season, just knowing that you know Springfield area gets a little less snow and the fields kind of recover quicker, so not a ton going on.
Yeah, like last
in the
season we had a ton
until
of
late next week. Yeah,
we had a ton of rescheduled games last year to start the season. You know, with rain and cold and all that kind of stuff. So baseball, softball really got pushed back like 3 weeks. So we'll see what happens this year on that front. But like I said. How do we want to do this? We want to preview? We want to look ahead to spring? We want to talk about winter?
Yeah. So I finished kind of going through everything for the spring track season over the past 2 days, I want to say. I was kind of diving into. What I did was I keep this honor roll, I call it, or whoever preceded me out here doing this kind of thing, called it. It's the top five times distances from the season. Individually. So, you know, if someone does have the top 5 mile times themselves, that they just get counted once. But kind of gives me a snapshot of the season of who to watch when postseason comes around. And then it helps obviously with, looking back as to who's gone and looking ahead as to, you know, who among those top fives are back. So this, if you remember, last season was kind of, like, to call it successful was an understatement.
You have Mount Greylock Girls, you know, first state championship in, like, 100 years.
Yeah. So they won the D6. So there are six divisions for track and field. So they won the D6 title.
Girls on the girls' side,
boys and girls swept the Western Mass D2. So that's, like, they go large school, small school.
That's kind of, like, almost the expectation at this point, which, to be
so
fair, is
the
is
sixth
incredible,
straight for
but,
the boys.
Yeah.
Girls repeated as well. I think it was second straight. They had lost it a couple years prior to Frontier, I think. Just kind of a string of individual state champions. So I was out at Merrimack last spring, Merrimack College, for the D6 state championships, which is they do this over 2 days now. So it's like a Thursday, Saturday situation. And I came out a Thursday, and we had like four state champions in individual events. And then went back Saturday, and there were more individual state champions, and eventually it resulted in the Greylock girls doing this thing that was kind of unheard of in the Berkshires. Looking ahead, the girls' side is kind of fully well-stocked. There are some names that'll be missing, Maggie Nichols in particular, from Greylock. She was their kind of sprint star, swept D6 state titles in the 100, 200, and 4x1. But let's see, there are eight, I believe, of the top performers from last year are back, at least individual events. It's a little misleading because three of those top performances belong to Amelia Desletz down at Monument, and three belong to Catherine Goss at Greylock. So Desletz had the top 800 1 mile and 2 mile times last year, and she is back. She's only a junior. Had another great cross-country season in the fall. She won the D6 state title in the 2 mile last year, was finished runner-up in the 1 mile on Saturday. But obviously Monument is pretty well stocked. They have the Getty sisters also in the distance events. They also have a two-time reigning state champion in high jump, Lily Haskins-Vaughn, who had the top high jump from last year as well. She cleared 5.7, which broke, I believe, the county record.
I think she tied the state record.
Maybe tied the state. So
at her maybe something division.
And Chase Hoey kind of jumps alongside. Chase Hoey is a Greylock senior, cleared 5.6, which set the Greylock school record. So they're planning to kind of duke it out again. Hoey is also the top performer in long jump last year, so she's back. And then, as I said, Catherine Goss from Greylock should be able to kind of, I mean, you're looking at Greylock like, okay, a repeat is possible. I wouldn't say it's probable, given the loss of Maggie Nichols, but they have kind of the girl athletes who are well-rounded enough. They're going to take a big hit. Everyone's taking a big hit in the throwing events. So there's three throwing disciplines, so 15 top performers from last year. Only two return. Both are Greylock, but neither were the top. And that's a big exodus on Hoosick Valley's side as well, if you remember that. Obviously, the basketball team.
Taylor Garabedian.
all those girls' basketball players were also throwers. So those are gone. But as I said, Catherine Goss was the top performer in 100, 400 hurdles and triple jump last year. So between her and Hoey, Rowan Apatsos, I would expect to take a big step forward as she kind of gets a little older. She's been doing this now since she was in seventh grade. But
Mount Greylock still looks like the cream of Berkshire County, you know, most likely the cream of Western Mass.
I would say, yeah, in dual meets, they are going to be real, real tough to beat. Individually speaking, Pittsfield will have Desiree Powell back. She was the number two right behind Maggie Nichols. She actually beat Nichols in a race last year in the 100. Taconic has Emma Daly, who was the number three in both the 100 and 200 back. Wakona, Catherine Perrone was the top 400 runner last year. She's back.
I was like, Wakona is going to take a hit on the boys' side with Peyton.
Big hit for
Peyton Shippey.
Yes,
graduation.
He is on the roster at Kent State. I believe they actually started. Did they start their season yesterday or today? What's today? They start their season outdoor today. So curious to see how he's doing out there at D1 Kent State. They also lost Liam Furlong, who is a hurdle star, was the number one hurdle runner in the county. The boys only return technically four top performances from the honor roll last year. Two belong to Everett Pacheco, who we know well, won a state cross country title in the fall. He was the top runner in the 1 mile, 2 mile, and was the number three runner in the 800, the top returning runner in the 800, as the Greylock boys also graduate a ton from last year. If you look at, I mean, the top two there were Quinn McDermott, who won a state title in the 800, and Ollie Swaby. Judge Martin was the top shot putter and javelin, I believe.
I was going to say, he was like third in javelin like 2 years ago, so it makes sense.
Yes, I believe he was the top. I think he had two top spots last year. He's doing track, I think, out at Springfield College. The other top return, the number ones returning from last year, Elijah Harewood, who we saw get hurt late in basketball season. Presumably he'll be okay.
I was told that he would be okay for track season. Maybe it's one of those things where, you know, he misses the first couple weeks and then kind of works his way back into it. But yeah, I mean, definitely one of the faster kids in Berkshire County.
Yeah, so we had the top 100 time last year in 11.12 seconds. Three of the other four of the top five sprinters last year have graduated. Wes Dews is back. He ran an 11.21 for third last year. So looking for those two to kind of duel all season long, we would assume. Dews is coming off a state championship in wrestling, a very strong football season. Harewood was also the number two 200 runner last year, 27.9. I can't tell if that's a two or a nine. I have it right in front of me on a computer, though. He ran a 2.297 last year, which was second to Oliver Berkowitz, the Monument graduate now. The fourth one is technically a three-way tie, all of whom return for high jump. Owen Klatka, who had a very strong soccer season for Pittsfield High. Sean Scarborough, also had a very strong soccer season for Monument Mountain. And Elias Robinson, who had a strong football season and played basketball in the winter. All those three guys, Elias for Pittsfield High, I should say, cleared 6-2 last year. So expecting to see them all kind of duel it out. Logan Sewell of Taconic was, I think, two inches behind them. But he'll be back as well. And that's it for the number ones. Yeah, maybe Freddie Conyers comes up with track.
Mike
yeah.
and I said Freddie Conyers is the fastest kid in Berkshire County, and I think he still is. But he has not been on the
there's guys you see throughout the season that you would love to see come out for track, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
He chased down West Dews, who Mike had claimed was the fastest kid in Berkshire County. He was like, all right, well, no, Freddie chased him down on the Freddie football field. Yes. So in a straight line, we'll see what they can do. But I'm not sure if Freddie's sticking to basketball.
Cesar Santos as well would be cool to see on the track. Quanell Bradley did do track, I believe, a couple years ago. I think he's played lacrosse since, but
yeah, now he's lacrosse.
Some of these high level athletes that we see in other seasons would be cool to see them come out and try to challenge Elijah in that. Are there a couple other names to watch? Wakona, though they do lose Shippy Furlong, they'll bring back West Dews. They'll bring back Lorenzo Lewis, who had a strong football season. He was the number 3 400 runner, and Julius Cablan, who had a very strong football season as well. Yeah. Theme here, kind of popped late last season and finished right behind number two in the county in both shot put and discus. So he's the top returner in those two events. But then it's a lot of Greylock behind him. Gavin Hetherington, Lucas Burrow, Thomas Warren, Ward Bianchi, Parker Smith. In shot put, it'll be Robbie Scher and Hayden Strassel, two other football players from Mount Everett and Taconic. So those are the kind of the throwers to watch. A lot of the jumpers are familiar names. Elias was the number two long jumper. Harewood was three. Cooper Calvert was four. William Apotsos would be a name to watch from Greylock as he kind of gets older. He was the number three triple jumper, top returner there, and was number three in the 110 hurdles. Pittsfield's hurdlers will be strong, presumably. Seniors Aiden DiNello and Dominique Billups are the top returning hurdlers. They were 2 and 3. Respectively in 100 and 400 last year, and should also be mentioned that those two paired with Seth Aiken, who would be back, and Klatka, Owen Klatka, to win the Western Mass title in the 4x4 last year. All those guys were not seniors last year, so we will see what happens. Outside notes, just the season gets started Friday night. Friday afternoon up at the brand new facility at Mount Greylock. So exciting to kind of see that, see what it looks like. They're actually going to host, it's a 1x1x1 thing this weekend, Friday. And then next weekend, they're going to host a track invitational Friday and a field invitational Saturday. So they're kind of ringing in the season with their brand new stuff up there. The track at Taconic I drove by yesterday does not look like it might not be ready at all this season. It doesn't look great.
That was one of those things where I kept, you know, the Taconic people were just as unhappy about how it's like, oh, it's going to be done over the summer. Well, it's going to be done in the late summer. Well, it's going to be done in September.
It's going to be done in December.
Well, it's going to be done before the start of next spring. Mm-hmm. And now it's next spring, and, you know, it'll be done by the end of the summer, I'm sure. You know, so yeah, Taconic will get their track when they get their track, I think.
Technically, we lost a track, but we gained a track this season. So it'll still just be meets at now the new Greylock at Wakona, Hoosick, and Monument Mountain.
Right. Well, folks, we will be back. This has been the Track and Field Hour with Mike Walsh. We'll hop into some other sports soon, but we will take a little break here. So stick with us here on WSBR and WTBR.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Help children and families struggling with mental health and behavioral issues get the treatment they need by booking an equine-assisted team-building session for your organization at Berkshire Horseworks. All proceeds go directly toward funding programming for those at risk. Call Berkshire Horseworks at 413-698-3700 or visit our website, berkshirehorseworks.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Folks, welcome back here. 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR, Lee. Bird's Eye View, Jesse, Mike. We were just talking about track and field. We'll hop over. I think talk a little softball. Maybe we'll talk some baseball and some lacrosse next week, so stay tuned for that. Right, if we have time at the end of this, we can talk. But yeah, I'll talk a little softball. It was a pretty successful softball season last year for Berkshire County. Pittsfield won the Class B Western Mass title, beat Hampshire, which has long been kind of the perennial contender in that division. And it was their first title since 2018. Won it, went to the Final Four in Division Four, lost at Tingsboro. It was a very good game, very close game. But that Pittsfield team, Pittsfield is going to be very different this year. They lose five starters, five seniors. They lost Amanda Poe, who was the best pitcher in the county, one of the five best pitchers in Western Mass. So that's a huge blow. She's playing D3. They lost Bella McDonald, who's probably the best batter in Berkshire County. She had something like a 5.89 batting average. You know, over like a 0.6 on base percentage, just like crazy stuff. So she's gone. She's playing at Framingham State. They lost Mia Arponte, who was their number two pitcher and their second baseman. They lost Natalie Arnhold, who was their first baseman. And they lost Cameron Renata, who's their center fielder. So they're losing a lot. And that's going to be something they're going to have to replace early on in the season. They're going to have to figure out. The good news is they have Mia De Jesus back. She was their number three pitcher. Was a pretty good pitcher. Had a very nice bat. So they, you know, the offensively they'll be okay with that.
So the concern would be that there's no feeder. There's no JV team.
They should have. Yeah, there's no JV team. This is kind of a.
Or presumably there was a JV team last year. Or no?
There wasn't. It's 2 years in a row.
So this is you're filling five holes with no JV players coming up.
Yeah, I mean a lot. So Brian McDonald, who's the coach, does a lot of youth softball, so a lot of the kids who he has have coached played for him. But it's definitely going to be an interesting thing where if you have freshmen or sophomores who are maybe playing on varsity for the first time, being forced to step in. They have a couple of kids who came back from last year who, you know, Giona Lavardi got time last year. Jaleza something.
Jessup?
No. Yeah, I think Jaleza Jessup. I don't know. If she is back.
Is the catcher back?
The catcher is back. Paxton Ebling is back. Paxton Ebling's back. Mia De Jesus is back. Nevaeh Williams, who was a great hitter, had a couple of home runs last year. She's back. Ella Bassey, who was great in the outfield and had a really nice bat. She's back. Sadie Akins is back. So they'll definitely have some good pieces back. But once again, it's just going to be like, who is going to come in and step in and fill that hole? Because, you know, Pittsfield plays in the best league in Western Mass. You know, they play Hampshire, which is, once again, they has won a D4 title, I think, a few years ago. Has generally run Western Mass for the last 15 years. They play Westfield, which was D2 champion, I think, 3 years ago. Was D2 runner-up last year. Lost 1-0 in that game and like beat Pittsfield, I think 3-2 and 8-7. You know, was just and their pitcher is back. So Westfield has just been long been a state power.
It's a tough start
they
to
play,
the season.
They play Minichog. They play.
They open at. So they're technically, if it happens, they're at Hoosick Valley on Tuesday.
And Hoosick should be solid. Should be good this
they're
year.
They're at Drury on Thursday. Typically no slouch. Then they do come home, but they have Greenfield Minichog at home.
And we should say Greenfield
Saturday,
won back-to-back state titles.
Who are two of the best teams
the
in
number,
the state.
Greenfield won back-to-back state titles in D5 and then was upset by the team that finished as state runner-up last year. And so, Greenfield is absolutely one of the best teams in Western Mass, even potentially in the state. So, it's a brutal schedule. We're just gonna have to see how Pittsfield fares. Like, they just have a lot of moving pieces. They're gonna have to figure out. I think by the end of the season, they could absolutely be good, make a run in Western Mass. But they're just gonna have to figure out how those pieces defensively step up. And whereas last year they had a lot of pitching depth, this year they really only have one or two. So that's also gonna be a question mark. As for Hoosick and Drury, Hoosick should be good this year. I'm like Hoosick definitely. They return everyone. Every starter is back. Okay. You know, so like they could absolutely be excellent. You know, they definitely had some problems last year where they kind of just wouldn't show up to games. You know, like they just wouldn't. They would not show.
They had the problem with a lot of like 13-year-olds and stuff.
Yeah, part of it was youth, for sure. You know, now most of them are juniors, so that should hopefully not be as much of an issue. But you know, that's a really good hitting team. Graceland Wright is a solid pitcher. Errors can be a problem with them, so if they clean that up, they could absolutely make some runs, be a very good team. Like I said, they're a very good hitting team, and so that's really hard to beat, you know, even if you have a good pitcher, because they generally don't get intimidated behind the plate. And so, you know, Genevieve LeGest, who just helped Hoosick to a state title in basketball, like she was a great first baseman, had a great bat. Izzy Tart had a great bat as catcher. Graceland Wright has a good bat. Like I said, solid pitcher. Hannah Lord, Ella Bastalian, Trinity Brackett, all decent hitters, all decent in the field. Once again, if they keep the errors down, because errors and mental mistakes could be a little bit of an issue last year, they should be really, really, really good.
Yeah. So if you consider softball, like it's a very pitcher-dominant sport.
Yes.
You have the strong pitcher, you have a very strong chance of winning a ton of games and making deep runs. So where does Graceland Wright kind of slot in, given what Pittsfield lost? Given what I presume, a bunch of other teams
this
lost.
This year in Berkshire County, Bree Lynch comes in as the best pitcher.
Yes.
Bree Lynch plays for Lee. Mm-hmm. She probably averaged something like 15 strikeouts a game last year. Mm-hmm. She's the best pitcher in Berkshire County, at least as far as I can tell.
And then, obviously,
if somebody just brings some new kid on us, then we'll fit. Then
a high bar, though, has been set the past couple years.
Yeah, it's a high bar.
You look like Giuliano.
Evelyn Giuliano, Graceland Wright, Olivia Perry. Evelyn Giuliano for Lennox.
Yes.
Graceland Wright for Hoosick. Olivia Perry for Drury.
Olivia Perry is back. Okay.
Yeah, she's back. I think this is her senior season.
Okay.
She's also a pretty decent two-way player, pitcher and hitter. They're all probably in that next kind of rung below.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a decent gap, but they're in that kind of next rung below. And because, like, McCann has a couple of decent pitchers, Emma Lemire, Alexis Lemansky. Wakona has options like Marley Arnold and Sammy Cayley and Mariah Barnes. I think Barnes was mostly their starter last year. So those guys don't necessarily have the experience of the other three. I think some of them actually potentially could be better, but they just haven't had those starts, you know, so they need more time seasoning. I just got the Monument Mountain schedule like this morning, or not the schedule, roster, the roster. So I've been interested to see what Monument's what their pitching looks like, because they changed some things up last year. I believe it's Andrea Paul or Meg DuPont. I'm not sure which.
Shea Goddard be back? That's iconic. Looks like
yes, Shane
like
Goddard should be back.
Okay,
so but she's
not like a pure pitcher.
She's not really. She's a shortstop who plays pitcher.
Yes.
So if they, you know, that's kind of be an issue. Let me see. Andrea Paul is back, so that's good. It does not look like Meg DuPont is back, but yeah, Andrea Paul, she's a good kind of off-speed pitcher for you know, pitch contact pitcher for Monument, so she's probably kind of in the third tier. But yeah, I mean, McCann and Wakona have options. They have depth at pitching, which is really, really good, because it means you don't have to just rely on one kid. Mia DeJesus for Pittsfield is kind of in the second tier with Perry and Giuliano Wright. So they all have some decent pitching. Last year, actually, Michelle Wood, who is the coach. There's two Michelles, so I keep getting thrown off. Michelle Wood, who is I believe was a freshman last year for Drury. She pitched a few games, came in when Perry had some trouble early on in the season. And so the fact that they have depth there is also really good. I mean, softball and baseball are very different in the sense that, you know, you can have an ace for baseball, but they're pitching, you know, once every 5 days. So, you know, it's like, that's great. And then also, you know, they might only pitch 5 or 6 innings. Whereas with softball, you know, this one player is pitching 10 games in a row because that's just how that works. So, yeah, we'll see how depth works out. We'll definitely see, like I said, McCann, Wakona. If those kids can get some seasoning, can take a step forward after not being like freshmen and sophomores, then those teams will be in much better shape, because Wakona definitely last year wasn't so great because they were really, really young. And their pitching was really, really young, and you kind of tell when they played teams that knew how to hit. And McCann honestly could be good this year. We'll see how they do, because Robin Finnegan, who's the athletic director, she has been the head coach for a while. She will no longer be the head coach. She's going to be the assistant coach. Aubrey Thurston, who you said is the girls' soccer coach?
Yes.
So she's going to be the new head coach for McCann softball. So we'll see how that coaching change goes, how she does as the new coach. But, I mean, McCann had a good season last year. Went to the Western Mass Semis. They were upset in the state tournament in the first round. But even still, like, I think they have a lot of potential. I think they really only lose one senior, maybe two. So they a lot of good players should be back for them. Riley Rathbun, Shea Lawson, Aiden Champney. They should be pretty good. And, you know, they play with Drury and Huzik and Mount Everett. So, yeah, that'll be... They could have a really good season this year. You know, I think in terms of like who you're looking at with the most potential, Lee girls, you know, softball. Lee went to the Class D Western Mass final last year, lost just this pitcher's duel with Turner's Falls 3-0. And that was because they struggled to hit. There's only one way to say it. They struggled to hit. And if they can get that extra hitting, they could win a Western Mass title. They could go to the Final Four in states. But whether or not that hitting can improve, you know, like I said, Bree Lynch, Carolyn Hopkins at center field, who's a great hitter, they, you know, both of them are back, but this is their last ride. The rest of the team needs to step up, is kind of how that one works. Because if they do, I think they can, you know, they can have a really, really, really deep run. If they don't, then they're kind of going to be stuck where they've been the last couple of years, which is not quite there. Huzik and Drury, once again, I think both can be really, really good this year. Drury, the big question is going to be, because Brooke Bishop graduates, and so she was a great hitter, had, I don't know, 4 or 5 home runs last year, and then was catcher. So yeah. Olivia Perry's back, but she's going to be throwing a new catcher, so that kind of changes up the dynamic a little bit. How does that factor in? And then obviously, how do you replace, I mean...
Yeah, you're four. You're centerpiece hitter, yeah.
Yeah. But it could be a good season. You know, we'll see how Taconic and Monument and Mount Everett figure out. You know, I think Monument brings back some decent pieces, but they also lost a few. Same with Mount Everett. Aaliyah Creamer's back. Michaela Carpenter's back. So they'll have some decent hitters. I'm not sure what pitching will look like. That's also the issue for Mount Greylock. A lot of their big hitters are back. Mila Marcic is back. Malia Coffey is back. Kelsey McAfee is back. They have some really good hitters, but their pitching last year was rough. Rough because I want to be polite.
That's a fair way to put it.
They need some pitching. So you know, if they can find a decent pitcher, they'll be really good. They'll be in shape. But if they can't, it could be a tough season. Because like last year, I covered their Western Mass game against McCann Tech, and Greylock scored 17 runs, and McCann scored 18 runs, and they only did it on 7 hits.
Yeah,
because Mount Greylock walked 21 batters, and it's just, you know.
So they lost in Western Mass in 1918. They lost the state. They were eliminated from states in a 20-17 loss.
Yeah. Greylock had 16 hits.
Yeah,
but you know, when you walk a total of 21 batters and strike out 2, and there's 4 walk RBIs,
tough ratio.
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully, we see some of these. Some of these scores come down a little bit with more experienced pitching would make just the sport kind of a lot more interesting to watch.
I think it could be a good season for Berkshire County. Absolutely, there's a lot of returning talent, which is good. Pittsfield, once again, we'll have to see how they shape out. They probably lost the most. Similarly with Taconic, just with numbers, they had 9 girls for a lot of last season, so how their depth works out here as we're kind of winding down. I think Wakona could take a step forward. They bring back a lot. Dandy Berry will be a tough loss because she was a solid player and was a good, you know, kind of leader. So how that team can kind of cope. But once again, you know, they bring back a lot. Drury, Hoosick Valley, Greylock bring back a lot. Lennox brings back a ton. They have Evelyn Giuliano, who's a good pitcher. Cassidy Flynn came in as a 7th grader and gave them a lot of nice innings. So there could be a lot of could be a lot of potential in softball in Berkshire County. We'll see how that starts next week. But for Jesse and Mike, thank you all for spending your Thursday morning with us, and have a good rest of your day.